Hello, this is the podcast for our class on September 27. It's class number 9, and we picked up where we left off after Reynolds v. Hicks, talking about these enabling torts and special duty rules regarding enabling torts. Remember I said this is just a name that I gave them, and other torts people give them. It's not an official court rule or anything, but it just concerns the times when people have provided the means for the harm to someone, and then that someone takes off and does harm to the third party. So we're always concerned with now injuries done to third parties by the negligence of our defendant in the case. So remember, these defendants haven't directly done anything to people. If they had, it would be a completely different situation. What we're talking about now are injuries that are done through some negligence on the part of our defendant, but not by the negligence of the defendant. So remember Reynolds v. Hicks, they gave the liquor to the underaged nephew at the wedding. Court says no duty here, no responsibility. Big policy, no social host liability. Now we move to Vince v. Wilson, and we have two defendants here. We have the aunt who gave the nephew money to buy a car, and there was no indication that she didn't know what he was going to do with that money. She knew it. She knew he was a bad driving record. He was a drug, alcohol abuser. And how do we know that she knew that? And that she knew he was going to buy a car? Because she told them, the sellers, the other defendants, that the guy was a bad risk. So there's no indication that she didn't know he was going to buy a car. That would be another question. She gave him money, and he went out and bought a knife or a gun, and she had no idea. That's a different thing. But what we have here is she knew, and the sellers knew. What was the issue in the case? The issue was that at that time, Vermont had a negligent entrustment law cause of action, but it only applied when somebody had given the dangerous instrumentality, the knife or the gun or the automobile, to a character that they knew was risky. That's hence the negligence part and hence the entrustment. So here we have not lending money, not lending the car, but giving money for the nephew to buy the car. And the court felt that the ends, you know, if we look at negligent entrustment, the law that they already had, it wasn't that much of an extension. Other courts have done it. It wasn't that much of an extension. They had the knowledge and control. Same thing we talked about under Tarasoff, the knowledge and the control. In fact, as we talked about in class, people pretty much agreed that the aunt was worse than the doctor. She knew, and she basically put the dangerous instrumentality in the hands of this very risky character. So the case here certainly was not a situation where it was that big of an extension, but it was an extension of the law at that was very much in the news at the time. We then talked about the question of the hypothetical from the previous class continued, talked about what happens. Does, you know, if Hertz rents a car, are they guilty of negligent entrustment for somebody who is a risky character? And courts say, well, if they've checked the driver's license, they have a valid license. No, there's no duty to go beyond that. If they happen to rent the car to somebody who's visibly drunk and they know about it, of course, there's the knowledge and the control. But the duty to go beyond and do background checks and all of this to see if they were had any accidents in the past, no, that's not the duty. Remember, our duty is based on knowledge of the risk and ability to control. And there's no affirmative duty to search out knowledge. It may be easy to do a background check, but you don't have to do it every time you rent a car. We had talked about in the previous class, we continued talking a bit about these dram shop acts and how they extend, they provide liability for commercial vendors of alcohol as opposed to our no liability for social hosts, liability in one case and no liability in the others. And the court, of course, as you recall in Reynolds v. Hicks, said, well, you know, social hosts don't have the time and there's too many people and they're not best equipped to do these, to watch over what they're doing, whereas commercial vendors are. Again, the most dram shop acts are limited to selling alcohol to a visibly intoxicated person. I maintain that the big difference is not the lack of the ability to do so, but the additional duty imposed upon a very large number of people where there wasn't one at all. Social host liability would affect pretty much everybody. Anybody who has anybody over to their house and either serves liquor or has knowledge that liquor is being served at their house would be under a duty of reasonable care. Now, no duty at all. The language in Reynolds v. Hicks I make very much take exception to when they say, well, too many people and they card everybody. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous because the no social host liability rule comes into play even if you have one person over to your house and they get drunk and you know about it. It's a huge policy decision that courts universally have made. And they say if you want to change it, leave it to the legislature. Well, you know, as many people know, a lot of counties, county ordinances have imposed social host liability, particularly in the suburbs where there's much more drinking and driving is much more of a problem. So there has been legislative change, but not through the courts. Why were the courts willing in a Vince v. Wilson case to extend it, the negligent entrustment, to situations where to the sellers or to people who provide the money to buy the dangerous article? Well, it's not that big of an extension. It's a very limited extension of our no affirmative duty rules and doesn't apply to that many people. So there's not going to be a major uproar. There was a big deal in this case because it was a sympathetic defendant for the aunt, but it didn't affect that many people. So at the end, the social host liability is just too much for courts to handle. But small extensions of duties, they're much more willing to do so. Then we talked about cases where by your writing or by what you do, you seemingly encourage risky behavior. And courts have, and we saw, you know, I said MacGyver, Beavis B. Butthead, kid who set fire to Starbucks, said he saw it in Fight Club, the movie, and courts are not willing to go there. It's the duty, they're saying it's not foreseeable, and they don't have the ability to control the parties, the dangerous parties themselves. So merely encouraging risky behavior is not in general is not a basis for liability. Query whether encouraging somebody to do so, if you do it directly and you know that they have that they're likely to do it, you know, that's a different situation. But here, just television programs, movies, books, no direct duty to any third parties who are injured by what you've written. Okay, so next class we are going to pick up with duties of landowner and occupier plus intrafamilial duties. These are all special duty roles.